All right, well, good morning. Welcome. Something that was really exciting today was all of our volunteers were back. They're back, and it's wonderful, and it's amazing, and it's just cool to see the church just operating the way that it should, and just being able to see people smiling and serving one another. So I am thankful for that. Also, just wanted to celebrate, we had, I believe it was around 20 people sign up to go through Moment Maker training today during both services, so that's awesome. So that's happening right now. If you wanted to be in there, leave. Don't stay here. Go. It'll be better. I'm just kidding. There's one at the 11 as well if you wanted to go after this. And so last week was a fun week. We got to do the No Serve Sunday. And I kind of jokingly said, you know, this is kind of a skirmish that I'm having with the church. And as we moved into the New Testament with skirmishes, there are some certain things that I wanted to touch base on in Jesus's life. But then, majority of the New Testament is about the church. And we get many letters from the Apostle Paul to the church. And what you see within these letters, if you've read any of these letters, there's this kind of this pattern from Paul to the churches. And he would write a letter to the church after hearing from the church about different things that were taking place. Of course, there'd be praises and the things that the churches were doing, and he would celebrate with them. And then there'd be concerns. You know, things are taking place that are happening within the church. There's maybe some questionable or immoral behavior. There's continue of worship of false idols and sexual immorality and all of those things. And so they would send these reports back to Paul and be like, hey, can you help us out? Anyone ever wish they could read the letters that came to Paul? I do. I wish I kind of knew. I mean, like, you get a little semblance of what was taking place as he responds back to it, but you wonder, like, man, what was happening? How many letters were being sent? And so he has to, you know, he goes out and he starts all these churches and he's going all around, and then he hears from them and he's checking on them. And of course, they continue to need to be kind of equipped and encouraged and inspired. And so Paul would write the letter back to them, challenging them, encouraging them. Church would get the letter. Oftentimes what they do is they'd be like, hey guys, Paul wrote us a letter, and they would get together and they would read the letter to one another. And of course he would start and, you know, he'd be just grace and peace and thank y'all for what you do, and I praise God for all that you do. And then he would go into some other stuff, right? Like, he's like, now I gotta kind of address some things that are happening. We gotta kind of talk about the elephant in the room. And so, you know, they would read that and they would begin to kind of just look into those things and figure out what they need to do in order to grow and thrive as a church, to continue to reach people with the gospel while dealing with the mess of ministry and the mess of people. And so you look at these letters and you look at the responses from Paul, and really what the church is sending a letter, they're like, hey, Paul, there's some skirmishes going on. There's some things happening within our church. And so what Paul would do is he would write and he would, you know, he would encourage and he would exhort and all those things. And then he would also kind of come in and he would challenge and he would discipline. And through his letter, he would almost create a skirmish and say, okay, we gotta work through these things for the betterment of the church and the gospel. But, you know, as you read through all of his letters to these churches, you get this overwhelming sense of Paul's love for the church, for the people, like this fatherly care, love, affection, attention, and desire for the church, for God's people. And so he's willing to address the difficult things. He's, of course, going to celebrate the things that God is doing. But through it all, what you see is Paul desires for the church to come together, to equip one another, and to operate in unity. And I said, he always starts, if you go through and read Paul's letters, you'll kind of like begin to notice some patterns. And he always starts with grace and peace to you, right? Like he starts with that. And then he usually follows that up with a thank you. Thank you for what God's doing. I'm thankful for you and all that God has done in your life. And then he's like, but now we got to talk about some stuff, right? I need to work on some stuff with you. And so I'm going to read just a few encouraging things from Paul to the different churches. In Ephesians and Rome and Thessalonica and Corinthians. So let's start in Ephesians 4. This is verses 1 through 3. It says, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, he says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Hey, these things are going on. Continue to work on it. Continue to show humility, love, and gentleness, and peace. But do it together. Romans 15. It says, now we who are strong have an obligation to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not to please ourselves. Each one of us must please his neighbor for his good to build him up. Verse 5 says, now may the God who gives endurance and encouragement allow you to live in harmony with one another according to the command of Christ Jesus so that you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ with a united mind and voice. Kind of hear that same vibe. Like, you know, these things are going on. Let's work through them. Let's work on them. But let's work together and serve one another in harmony and unity. Verse 1 Thessalonians 5, same theme. Therefore, encourage one another. Build each other up as you're already doing. And we ask you, brothers, to give recognition to those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you and to regard them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we exhort you, brothers. Warn those who are irresponsible, comfort those that are discouraged, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, finally, brothers, rejoice, become mature, be encouraged, be of the same mind, be at peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. And so, you continually see this vibe to the churches in Corinth and Ephesus and Rome and Thessalonica, grace, peace. I'm so thankful for you. Join together. Serve one another. Love one another. Be in unity with one another. Work on maturing in faith and hold each other accountable. And you see this theme all throughout. Now, what's interesting, I talked about Paul kind of starting these skirmishes. I love in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 10, he says this, I'm writing these things while absent, that when I am there, I will not use severity. Listen. Before I get there, I'm gonna come. Here's some things y'all need to work on. And he says, in keeping with the authority the Lord gave me for building up and not for tearing down. He's like, I heard what's happening. I keep getting reports about what's happening. Here's what you need to do to fix them. I'm trying to write to you in kindness so that when I get there, right, I don't have to get all Saul on y'all. You know what I'm saying? Because it's possible. He used to be Saul. He's like, y'all remember who I was, right? And he's like, just remember the severity to which I can come at y'all. And so, you know, Paul, but he said he wrote to encourage, to build up, to edify, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. He wasn't afraid to challenge, to bring conviction, to enter into conflict, but it was all in an effort to build up the church, to build up the believers, to see them loving, serving, caring, giving, to one another so that the church and the message of Jesus could reach more people. I want to read to you from Ephesians 4 because Paul wrote to encourage to do those things, right? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. And I shared this last week, but I want to share it again a little bit more. So it says, for equipping the saints in the work of ministry, this is verse 12, again, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in faith and the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with stature measured by Christ's fullness. Step into verse 15, speak the truth in love. Let us grow in every way into him who is the head, which is Christ. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. Paul desired for believers to come together. Despite all their own personal issues, despite all the stuff they're dealing with, despite all the things that are happening within the church, to come together, to join one another, to love one another, to be the church in their community so that they could go and tell people about the love of Christ. And so last week, we're kind of continuing this vein of what I was sharing. I spoke about my oversight or my lack of equipping. And I called it a failure on my part. And the reason that I maybe might've been a little bit harsh on myself and really why it bothered me so much is because this is a core value of our church. That we would equip you, Right, and I told you that in Ephesians that, you know, as a pastor, I'm called to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And that's where our core value comes from. I want to read our core value to you. Equip one another. It says this: we will never lose sight of equipping one another through prayer, through worship, through scripture, through accountability, through groups, and through serving. We will encourage one another. Continue taking next steps in our walk with Christ and in our leadership. And again, this comes directly from scripture. You go back and you read some of these things that Paul shared with the churches. This is where we pull this from, where he was equipping them, challenging them, encouraging them, and helping them mature in their individual faith so that the church could be collectively strong and share the gospel. So today, in the fashion of Paul, today's message is kind of letter from me to the church. That you just get to hear. You don't have to read it. I'm here. I'm in person. And I don't think I'll be too severe anyway. But it's an encouragement, but it's also a challenge, very much like last week. And due to kind of the oversight and the lack of equipping that has been happening, I've been ultra focused on making that right. And so over the last 3 to 4 weeks, I've been really, really ultra focused on working on and getting our discipleship classes ready. Now, there's going to be 3 of them, and I spent 4 weeks and I got 1 done, so we're doing good, okay? But I've poured over scripture and I've looked at our values and our beliefs, and I've read through our prayers and praises and just kind of reminisced about, you know, who we were and what God was doing and the things that God called us to as a church. I'm so encouraged, and I'm so excited to launch these discipleship classes to do what we were set out to do, to equip you. But then I began to realize, like, the effectiveness of these classes is so contingent upon people actually attending them. And so, we can't equip you if you don't desire to be equipped, if you don't desire to be connected. And so I'm working so hard to do this. And then I think because of last week, I started thinking about the state of our crews and the lack thereof, of the amount that we have. And then the amount of people who are attending the crews. And I'm like, that's a concerning thing. And of course we talked about, you know, volunteers and serving. And I'm like, okay, I'm a bit worried. And so it's I'm asking myself, will I put all this time and all this effort and all this care into creating classes just to have maybe a small percent even attend or even care? Last week I shared with you, as I was talking about, as I'm serving, if you were here, I talked about prayer and how 12% of our church on average fills out a prayer praise card. And it's on average, we get about 30 prayer cards that come in each week. And I was, I didn't spend a lot of time on it, but I was like, man, hopefully we can do better this week. And I was super excited to go read and be like, yeah, look at all those people that prayed. And it went the opposite direction. We had less people pray. It's one of those things. I'm like, I just talked about this, and I'm trying to encourage you. And I we do this. It's not like I do get encouraged reading from your praises. And I love that you desire to have us pray for you. And that's why we do it. It's for you. You know what I'm saying? The reason that we take time to put these things out, the reason that we take time to share them, the reason that we have an entire team is for you. The reason we do everything is for you. So I just got to thinking about all that. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a church that gathers once a week on Sunday and that has zero interaction with one another throughout the week. That, to me, that's not church. It's not. You're not doing life together. You're not in community. You're not caring about one another. And that's not how the early church operated. And yes, we operate in a much different time, and things were way different back there. But here's what I know. Doing life together, encouraging one another, equipping one another, is at the core of God's church. You want to see a healthy, thriving, maturing, growing church? They will be doing life together, and not just on Sunday. And it's so important. I don't want to just pray once a week with y'all. I don't want to just worship once a week with y'all. I don't want to just connect and chat once a week. I desire to be connected, to feel connected to you, and I desire for you to be connected to one another. And as we do that, we get to connect closer to God. I don't know, does anyone else desire that? Am I like the only one? Is my desire misplaced? Does anyone desire to be connected? Yes. A few? Because if you're not raising your hand, like, I'm so sorry. Why are you here? There's my severity coming out. Honestly, are you here just to consume? Or do you really want to be a part of something? Do you really want to be challenged? Do you really want God to transform your life? Because if you do, it's going to require you to step out and to get connected. We can do all of these things. And we can say, we got this, and we got this, and we got this. We can send out communication after communication in various different ways, only for you to say, stop sending me messages. I don't want to hear from the church. I got to get back to my message. Here's the deal. I struggled so hard this week on what to preach and what to talk about. And I, like, my desire and my passion for you to be connected with one another is like, is so up here that sometimes I feel like I come on a little bit strong. And that I desire it more than you desire it. And I desire it more than you want it. And sometimes I'm left wondering, going, why am I even doing all of this? Why do I try so hard? Why do I spend hours away from my family working on things so that people can get connected, but then they don't want to? Or they can't even be bothered when we send an email or a text to them to reply back and let us know if they're coming or not. I got a little bit of Saul in me right now, so anyway, I'm gonna get back to what I'm doing. I struggled multiple times putting this together. And what God wanted me to share. We desire for you to do life together. We say it all the time. We encourage you to do it. It's frustrating. It's very, very frustrating when people don't. Here's what I know. You want to be connected. You want to feel connected to your church. It will require commitment from you. And every commitment requires sacrifice. What I've sensed over the last 6 to 8 months is a lack of commitment from people to the church. A lack of desire to be even connected to the church. Commitment to serving, we already talked about it. A commitment to attending and coming to church and being here just once a week sometimes is hard. Of course, there's a lack of commitment to praying and asking for prayer and celebrating what God is doing. A lack of commitment to doing life together through our groups, our crews, through brotherhood and sisterhood and any other ministry we have going on. Now, at the end of the day, like, volunteers committing to serve is meaningless if people don't show up to church. My crew leaders leading group and sacrificing time out of their week to lead is meaningless if no one shows up. Me putting together a discipleship class so that people can be equipped and grow in their faith is meaningless if no one will even commit to attend. And I find myself feeling like Solomon in Ecclesiastes, where he just opens it up and he's like, meaningless, meaningless, all this is meaningless. It's futile, why even try? And I begin to understand where he's coming from. We have so many ways in which you can get connected, but it will require you to commit. It will require you to sacrifice things. Time, sleep, hobbies, housework, your to-do list, and even time with family. I was impressed this past Friday by a gentleman that came to speak at our Brotherhood Men's Ministry. We do Brotherhood once a month on Fridays, and this year we've had just different men come in to just give a message and challenge the men. Because we get together, we eat, and we hear a message and we're challenged, and then we spend time chatting, and then, you know, we usually play some kind of activity. But I was encouraged by the gentleman who spoke. His name is Jeremy Balog. He's a busy guy, and he works a lot, and he does a lot around his house and fixing things up, and he's very, very busy. And I was just so encouraged by him because of the sacrifice and commitment that he was willing to do in order to come and speak on Friday night, where he worked all day on Friday, to the point to where he was working very much up until the point that he had to come here, that it required him to be here late. And then the night before that, and probably a few nights before that, he was working to put together a message that would challenge the men. And so he's sacrificing time, and he's sacrificing sleep, and he's sacrificing time to be with his family after work to be here to encourage and to equip and to be with one another. And so I was just like, I loved seeing that. And he was willing to do that. And now he doesn't do it all the time, but it just showcases like the importance of it, and that there will be times if you really want to connect, if you really want to grow, if you really want to mature in your faith, it's going to require a commitment and a sacrifice from you. On Friday, I had spent 13 hours here. I didn't get a chance to see my family at all that day because I was working. That's my job, and so that's fine. But then I understand the importance of brotherhood, of men coming together, of taking one night out of their month to come and be encouraged and to be challenged and to fellowship and find community once a month. And so I can sacrifice that once a month because I understand the importance. And I was challenged, and I was encouraged, and I was inspired. And then the other thing that I was really impressed with about Balog is that at the end of the night, he decided to smash me in the face with a volleyball. And so that was fun. He got mad because I beat him. Anyway, we had a lot of fun. And so, like, if you want to grow, if you want to feel connected, it's going to require a commitment. It's going to require you to sacrifice. Listen, and I talk about this all the time. Every single one of us has a reason, an excuse, or even a valid excuse of why we shouldn't or why we can't. All of us. We all have our own issues. We all have our own problems. We all have things that are going on. But at the end of the day, every single one of us needs each other. We need people to come alongside us and encourage us and support us. The thing that you're struggling with, that you're trying to deal with and figure out on your own, God just may be trying to connect you with someone that could help you work through it. In Hebrews 10:24, it says, "Let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our worship meetings as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." That's what the church should be doing, being concerned about one another, promoting love and good works, coming together to encourage one another, not just once a week. You go and read in Acts, and they were coming together daily. Again, we live in a much different time, and I get that. And so what that looks like changes, but again, at the core of all of it is we're meant to do life together. You know, I often hear people who have come to visit Kairos or checked us out for the first or second time or have maybe decided to make Kairos their church home is that they used to go to one of those big churches. And at the big church, they didn't feel connected. They didn't feel seen. They didn't feel engaged. There was too many people. There was too much going on. And it was just too much for them. And so they left the church. Now, oftentimes, I kind of just let them share that with me. And that's fine. I don't get into, well, how were you engaging with the church? Was the church, did they offer groups? Did they offer serving? Did they offer moments of prayer and praise? How were you connecting with that church outside of just Sunday? Anyway, I don't get into that. I could, but I don't want to make them feel bad. But now here's the other thing, ready? So then people start attending Kairos, and they maybe been coming for a while, and then I start hearing things about how they're considering on leaving because they don't feel connected. They don't feel seen. They don't feel like they have community. And I don't know, you may consider Kairos to be a big church. I don't. Maybe that's just because of the church I came from or the churches that I know, but I don't see Kairos as a big church. But isn't it interesting that there's the same complaint, whether it's a big church, a medium church, or a small church, and then I go, well, how are you actually connecting with the church? This week alone, we had amazing opportunities for people to connect, to be encouraged, to equip one another. On Sunday, we had a kids' huddle. And I think about 16 to 20 people were here connecting, equipping, having fun, enjoying one another's company. We have crews on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday that you can connect in. We had the worship and presentation team had this crazy wild huddle on Thursday night. I don't know what they were doing. They sent me video and pictures, and I was like, I think I need to lay hands on the whole thing. But what I do know is they were having a blast. They were enjoying one another's company and laughing and doing life together. It's a powerful thing. Friday, we had Brotherhood. I believe we had about 16 guys here, and we just had a wonderful time. It wasn't this past week, but 2 weeks ago, Sisterhood met, and there was over 20 women. We have ways in which you can connect and grow, be in community, do life together. We can't force you to do any of it. All we can do is offer it. You have to take the steps to jump in. You have to be willing to be committed and to sacrifice if you want to feel connected, if you want to feel community. You know, last week I talked on the importance of serving. And yes, we need people to fill the positions and roles within the church. But at the same time, more than anything, we desire for you to be connected to this church and to one another. Why do we offer crews? Why do we offer prayer praise? Why do we petition for you guys to fill those things out? Why do we encourage serving? Why am I working on discipleship? Guess what? It's for you. It's for you to be strengthened. It's for you to grow in your walk with God. It's for you to connect with other believers. It's for you to not feel alone, isolated, disconnected, or out of community. It's all for you. We want you to connect with one another. We want you to learn more about God with one another. We want you to bless and be blessed by one another. We want you to mature as a Jesus follower, gaining knowledge and understanding of what it means to live, love, serve, and sacrifice just like he did. I already shared that sometimes it's frustrating, the hesitancy or the reluctance to get engaged, to get involved. And like I said, we all have our reasons. We all have different things going on. But at the same time, like, we know you're going through stuff. And we don't want you to go through it alone. If you're dealing with a sin issue, if you're dealing with a financial issue, relational issue, kid issue, health issue, we don't want you going through it alone. We want you to know that we're here for you, that we want to pray for you, that we want to support you, we want to encourage you, we want to help work through whatever it is you're doing. The early church, like us, had many issues. And they dealt with them. Issues that needed to be addressed on a constant basis, and they dealt with them together. And that's the reality. The best way to address what you're currently going through is together. In unity and accountability and loving and serving and praying and praising. You want to fight isolation, you want to fight addiction, you want to fight your relational issues, your financial issues, your anxiety and stress. You want to fight against the pull of culture on your heart, on your mind, or on the heart and mind of your children. It happens together. In order to combat and counter these things, we have to fight together. That means we pray together, we praise together, we worship together, we read together, we learn together, we serve together, we laugh together, we cry together, we love together. And we don't just do it once a week. We do it continually. It's on a continual basis. And that's how we mature and grow in our faith, in unity, the same mind, in the Spirit, and we're able to glorify God together. And so we're owning up to and recognizing where we failed you. And we're working to make that better so that you can find ways to connect, to mature, to grow together. But it is going to require you to take a step, for you to commit, for you to connect, for you to sacrifice, whether it be through prayer and praise and filling a prayer praise card for the very first time, or through serving like we talked about. Or maybe it's looking through our crews and joining one. Or maybe God's placed it on your heart to start or lead one. Man, let us know so that we can help you connect with people here and do life together. Maybe it's attending our brotherhood and sisterhood ministries that they happen once a month. And every time, it's a wonderful time. Now, I was thinking about this. For whatever reason, the movie Jerry Maguire came up, right? You've seen Jerry Maguire. Help me help you. Help me help you. You know, like, that's it. Like, we're here for you. We love you. Man, we wanna walk through what you're walking through. We wanna pray about what you're praying about. We wanna see God work and move in your life in just amazing and magnificent ways. We wanna do it. We wanna join you. We wanna pray with you. We wanna worship. We wanna read. We wanna learn. We wanna grow. We wanna mature with you. We wanna be a stronger church together with you. And it's gonna take all of us to commit to getting connected. Would you all join me in prayer? God, your word is challenging. We learn from it, we grow from it. And through your word, through Paul's letters, we see that the things that we deal with as a church, this is nothing new. It may just look a little bit different. But the one thing that hasn't changed is who you call us to be as a church and how you call us to operate. And you call us into relationship, first and foremost with you through your son, Jesus Christ. But then you would call us into relationship with one another, to be in community, to encourage one another and to equip one another and to challenge one another and to hold one another accountable. That's the desire of our church. And that's what we want to see, God. So thank you for, first and foremost, revealing this to me and where we've missed the mark. And there have been people who have wanted to get connected, but because we've missed the mark, they haven't. And so, God, we're working to make that right. And as we do, I pray, man, that people would step up. I pray that people would begin serving. I pray that people would begin attending groups. I pray that people would enter into these ministries where they can be filled up. I pray for people to be challenged to step into leadership roles, to lead crews, to lead serve teams, to lead ministries. God, whatever it is you're calling to, because as people step in to grow and as people step in to lead, your church thrives and we mature. But more importantly, as we do those things, as we become the hands and feet of the church, more people get to hear about your son and what he did for them. That life-changing, life-transforming message. God, I thank you for all the people that you've brought to Kairos, for all the people who are serving and leading and attending, filling out prayers and praises. I thank you for the people that have shown up, maybe for the first time, the second time, or trying to figure this thing out, God. They showed up for one reason or another. I don't know what it is, but something tells me they're desperate for you. And they're desperate for community. And God, we want to do our very best to provide both. God, would you reveal to us the ways in which we can step into those things in our own personal life? God, would you show us through your word and through your spirit and through your people what you have for us, how you want to grow us, how you want to change us, how you want to challenge us? God, when we make commitments and sacrifices to step into and go where you're leading. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your church. It's in your son's name that I pray. Amen.